We need more than anything else is an ongoing experience of God's power and his presence. I wonder, do some of you feel a bit like that this morning? If you do, if you look into the autumn term and you think to yourself, I know I'm going to do this stuff, you're in good company this morning. I want you to hear again the prayer of Moses from Exodus chapter 33 and verse 15. Here's Moses crying out before God, longing for the presence of God to stay with him and to be with him and to go with him. And he prays this great prayer. He says, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going anywhere. Cancel the trip. It's not worth it. We're not going any further. And he goes on to say, how will anybody else know that you're pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? That distinguishing mark on God's people. What else will distinguish us from all the other people on the face of the earth if you do not go with us? So what's going on in Exodus chapter 33? What is it that causes Moses to cry out like that, almost in anguish before God? He takes himself off to this. If you look at chapter 33 and verse 7, he's got this little tent set up outside of the camp, and in this tent God meets with him. It says there's a cloud of God's presence comes down over this tent, and when this is going on, he says the people who are watching are just in worship. They're in awe because it's such an amazing sight to see God going out to meet with God and the presence of God descending. The people are just blown away by what they see. And there's a lovely description of Moses in prayer. I think it's one of the best definitions of prayer that I've ever heard. It says that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That's a great definition of prayer, isn't it? So what is it? What's going on here that causes Moses to cry out like this, to say, do you know what, God, if you're not going with us, let's cancel this trip. I think there's two things going on in this passage. Here's the first thing that I've seen as I've looked at it. Moses has seen what God is doing in the past. He knows who God is. He's described as a friend of God, and he has seen the miraculous in the past. He's seen what God is able to do. He has seen God deliver his people from slavery, from the Egyptians. He's seen God divide the Red Sea in half. He's seen magnificent and miraculous food being supplied in the wilderness when there is no food. And he's seen the presence of God. He's seen a pillar of fire traveling through the night time so they know in which direction to go. And they see a cloud during the day so they know that God is with them. He has seen and experienced the power and the presence of God. And he says, if you don't go with us, we can't go any further. That's why Moses cries out like that. He says, I've seen what you can do in the past. I want you to do this now. I want you to do this in the present, the past, and the present and the future. And the second thing I see going on in this chapter is that, well, he's seen what God does in the past, but I think secondly, Moses is facing challenges that are way beyond him. They are just too big. Look at verse 3 of Exodus chapter 33. And there's this sense where God has said to his people, I'm not going with you. You're on your own. And Moses has been given responsibility for leading these people, and he hears God saying, I'm not going with you. And the reason I'm not going with you, he says, because you're leading the people who are stubborn and rebellious. They're stiff-necked, is what he says. They're more interested in looking after themselves. They're more interested in worshipping idols that they've made out of their own hands. Moses has just gone up to receive the Ten Commandments. By the time he comes back down, the people are worshipping an idol. How does that happen so quickly? Because they want to worship something that they've created themselves. And in verse 12, you can see Moses clearly feeling the weight and the responsibility of leadership. And he says in verse 12, he says, you have said, lead these people, but you've not told me who's going to go with me. And these are your people. You see now why Moses cries out like that. He says, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're lost. Let's just cancel the trip. Some of us may well relate to Moses this morning. We've experienced the presence and the power of God in our lives in the past. And we're facing something this morning that actually makes it so difficult that we're not quite sure even how to make the next step. But what we know more than anything else is we want the God who's traveled with us in the past to be with us in the here and now. We want an ongoing experience of the power and presence of God. Does that resonate this morning? I want you to see how God answers this remarkable prayer. As Moses makes his way out of the tent, begins to talk with God in conversation, God answers this prayer in an amazing way, and he declares three great truths over Moses' life. I hope they encourage you this morning. Here's the first truth which God declares over Moses' life. He says, I want you to know, if you look at verse 14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I will take you to the very end of the journey. That's what God is saying. I will go with you. I will not leave you on your own. Resonates, doesn't it, with some of the promises that run through Scripture. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. It resonates with some of the final words of Jesus. He says, I will be with you to the very end of the age. And God wants Moses to know, as he cries out for his presence and his power, God says, I want you to know that I'm going with you. I will be with you. You're not on your own. There's the first declaration that God makes over Moses, verse 14. The second one comes in verse 17. If you're following it in the Bible this morning, the Lord says to Moses, I'm going to do the very thing that you have asked because I am pleased with you and because I know you by name. That's precious stuff, isn't it? I know you by name. You know, even on a human level, we love it, don't we, when somebody calls us by name. There's something about it, isn't it, that resonates with us. When somebody greets us and says, you know what, Bammy, great to see you. It means the world to us when somebody uses our name. And there's that sense of that's what's going on in this passage, but there's something much deeper going on, because when somebody says that in the Bible, they mean something which goes really deep. They're talking about an intimate, deep friendship, because where somebody knows that other person almost to the very core of their being. It's the Psalm 139 stuff. Lord, you search me, you know me. You know when I sit, and you know when I stand, and you know when I go out, and you know when I come in. And you hem me in behind and before, and your hand is over me. That's the kind of stuff that God is talking about to Moses. I know you. I know everything about you. I know you by name. So as Moses cries out to God and says, if your presence doesn't go with us, we can't take another step here. God says to him, I'm going to go with you. You're not going to be on your own. He says, I know you by name. And then something else even more remarkable happens here. Here's another truth which God declares over Moses. He says to Moses, I am going to proclaim my name in your presence. You'll see it in verse 19 and 20. In your presence, I'm going to show you a little bit more as to who I am. If you look at verse 18, what Moses is crying out here at this particular point in this conversation with God, he says, God, you know, more than anything else, I want to see you. I want to see you. Show me your glory, is what Moses says. Show me your glorious presence. I need to see that this is real. And because God is holy and pure, God says, I can't allow you to see my face. But I'm going to reveal something of my character to you. And there's this, I don't quite know what's going on in this passage. If you can tell me what's going on, come and talk to me after coffee. But somehow or other, Moses gets a glimpse of the character of God. I don't quite know how that happens here. But I do know what he sees. And he hears from God. If you look at verses 19 and 20, God says, I'm going to have mercy. I'm a merciful God. I'm a compassionate God. And then if you skip into the next chapter, you'll see in verses 6 and 7, it kind of fills out the experience that Moses is having here. And Moses sees here that actually God is forgiving, and he's patient, and he's compassionate, and he's gracious, and he's slow to anger, and he's faithful, and he's a forgiving God, and he's a loving God, and he's a just God. And wow, what happens when Moses sees that stuff, verse 8 of chapter 34? Moses bows to the ground at once and worships God. And says, I want you to go with us. What you've seen is enough for me to know I can take this next step. And this intriguing little bit at verses 21 and 22 where God says, you can't see my face, but I'm going to let you see my back. What's that all about? I wonder, is it that sense sometimes that when we look back over our lives, when we look back over our experiences, then sometimes that's where we see the fingerprints of God in our lives. There's a bit of that going on here. So I want you to hear the truths that God himself declares over Moses. And he responds to this fresh revelation with God in worship in verse 8. He just bows to the ground and he says, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us and lead us forward. Now, I wonder, do you look at that story this morning and you think to yourself, I want some of that? Or is it just me thinking that this morning? You look at this experience that God has with Moses and you say, I want in on that. How do I get in on that kind of stuff? Perhaps there's something about this prayer of Moses that resonates this morning as we start a new term and the next part of our journey as a church together. Maybe you look at this chapter this morning and you think to yourself, that's all well and good for Moses, but what about us? How can we have that kind of experience of the presence of the power of God in our lives, in our everyday, in our nitty-gritty lives, in where I'm going to be this time tomorrow? And yet, what is the story of the Bible? Is it not that from Genesis to Revelation, it is all about God's desire to draw us close? He wants to reveal his power to us. He wants to reveal his presence to us. He wants to draw people to himself. The heart of Israel's calling was that they would be known as a people of God. People after God's own heart, so many of the leaders were described. Moses says, what else is going to distinguish us from everybody else on the face of the earth? So where do you go with a passage like this? How can you and I have this kind of experience in our everyday, this time tomorrow, wherever you're going to be tomorrow? Let me take you to the New Testament. Because that's how we read the Old Testament. We read the Old Testament by going to the New Testament. It fills out what's happening to us. And as you move from the Old Testament to the New Testament this morning, you find two powerful declarations about God's presence. And I hope it will wow you this morning. I hope you will think, wow, my goodness! I never saw it quite like this before. Here's the first thing I want you to see as we move into the New Testament this morning. That actually in Jesus, God's presence comes to us. Just think about that for a moment. That in Jesus, God's presence comes searching for you and me. Just sit with that for a moment. These powerful words that Sarah started our service with this morning. Some of you will know John's gospel quite well, but here's John speaking about Jesus, and here's what he says. He said, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was the Word. He was with God. He was God. And then just a little bit later on, he says something in verse 14, which really resonates with Exodus chapter 33. He says, this Word, this Jesus, he became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. You know what that means? He made his tent among us. The tent that Moses was in. That's what was going on here. And then he says this. He says, we have seen his glory. Do you remember what Moses said? Show me your glory. What did God say? I cannot show you my face. I'm too pure and I'm too holy. And Jesus, John says, speaking here of Jesus, we've seen his glory. We've seen it. We've seen him. And Jesus said this to his disciples. He says, when you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Just sit with that for a moment. In Jesus, God's presence comes searching for us. So easy for us to miss the magnitude of what John is saying here in verse 14. What he is saying is this, that the presence of God that dwelt firstly in the tent where Moses met with God, and then in the temple, was born of a virgin and literally lived among people like you and me. And you will give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hebrews picks up the implications of this so well for us. We did a whole series on the book of Hebrews in this church recently. Here's some of the things that we learned. These wonderful words from Hebrews 4 speaking about Jesus. Since we have such a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to the faith we profess. We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. And here it comes. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. My friends, we no longer need to hide from the presence of God. In Jesus, God's presence comes to us, and we have seen his glory, writes John. We've seen him. We've walked with him. We've talked with him. We've heard him teaching us. We've eaten with him. We've cried with him. We've shared our lives with him. We've seen him. Whatever challenges you and I may be facing in our lives this week, we need to recognize that God's presence comes to us in Jesus. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I've called you my friends. I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Which leaves us with one final question this morning. In what way is Jesus present with us now? It's great to say that Jesus comes to us in that way, but how is he with us now? How is he with you where you sit right now? How is he with you where you will be this time tomorrow? The answer is through God's Holy Spirit. Because you see, through Jesus himself teaches us that God's presence lives in us. He lives in us. In John chapter 14, just before Jesus went out for his final night where he was betrayed, he began to prepare his disciples. And he began to prepare his disciples for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And here's what he said to his disciples. He said something absolutely mind-blowing. He said, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you another advocate, a helper, another one just like me, who will be with you forever. And a few verses later we read this, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, says Jesus. Or as we sometimes sing in some of our songs, God of heaven, living in me. And we sing those words so easily sometimes. God's presence, living in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we experience God in the everyday. Look how Jesus describes it just a few verses later. He says, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, speaking of the Holy Spirit. But you know him because he lives with you and he'll be in you. That is a staggering truth, my friends. You see, what really distinguishes us is that we are a people of God's presence. It has never been about what we can do. It is about who we are with. The power is in his presence. That's what lies behind Moses' prayer in Exodus 33. Let me remind you of how Moses prays. He says, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us up from here. How is anybody going to know that you're pleased with us? How will anybody know that we are distinguished from anyone else on the face of the earth if your presence doesn't go with us? So where does God's word find you this morning? Our title for this morning is the power is in his presence. So you hear this prayer of Moses this morning, where does this find you? As we stand at the beginning of another term, as we begin to look into the weeks and months which go ahead, how does this prayer of Moses resonate with you this morning? Lord, we want you to go with us. We want you to be with us. We don't need to go to a special tent or a special building to find you. Thank you that you've come to us in Jesus. Thank you that you live in us by your Holy Spirit. And as we start into a new term, do we not want to walk in the presence of God? Do we not want to know the power of God in our lives? How do we put this sort of stuff into practice? I'm always slightly wary of using any illustrations from nature, especially when it has something to do with birds. Because some of you guys won't know this here, but Andrew Croson's our church administrator. He knows everything there is to know about birds. But I'm going to give it a go anyway. Just as an illustration, there is a bird called a cormorant, which some of you may sort of know and say. They fly, they float, and they fish. They dive right under the water. And the more they dive under the water, the heavier their wings get. So eventually they can't really do what they were designed to do in the first place. And you know what they do? Have you ever seen a cormorant? This is what they do. They hang their wings out to dry. And they stand there sometimes for hours. And they let the wind take away the heaviness of the water and the sun to dry their feathers so that they can be the kind of birds that they need to be. So they can get back and do a bit of fishing and diving and flying. And there's a sense in which we need to do that this morning. We don't have wings, do we? Well, I don't think we have wings. But there's a sense in which we need to be intentional about this stuff. If we want to practice the presence of God, we need to do something intentional about it. It doesn't happen by itself. We need to come to God and we need to hold our hands out before God and allow the wind of His Holy Spirit to blow and perhaps to feel the heat of God's love on our lives. How do we do this stuff? Let me make some really practical suggestions as we conclude this morning. We need to protect our relationship with God. How do we do that? By making sure that we find a point in our day where we can connect with God and remember what we've been learning this morning. That in Jesus, God's presence comes to us. That through Jesus, God lives in us. It means being intentional about connecting with God. We did some great stuff on Whole Life Worship a little while ago, and we were talking about pausing intentionally during the day. People come up with some really imaginative ideas, but it's finding something that you do regularly during the course of the day, and before you do that regular thing, just pause to reflect that you're actually walking this day in God's presence. Some people said, I'm going to do that when I switch my computer screen on. Some people said, I'm going to do that when I make a cup of coffee. That's practical stuff. Some people said, I'm going to do that when I walk past that particular building. Something that you do every day, connect it with being intentional about pausing and saying, Lord, you are in this day with me. You walk with me. I am not on my own. You know me. Here's another suggestion. Listening and talking with God. You know, prayer is not complicated. We make it complicated. But what do we read in Exodus 33? Moses talked with God as a man talks to his friend. You know, it doesn't get much more practical than that, does it? Talking with God and leaving space to hear what He's saying to you. Two-way conversation. Taking God at His word. Standing on those promises. If God has said He will be with you and you're not alone, claim that promise. If God has said, I know you by name, claim that. Say, Lord, I thank you that you know everything about me. And I think the final thing I want to say this morning is just recognize we can't do this stuff on our own any more than Moses could. And boy, if Moses couldn't do it, we can't do it. Trust me. We're like disconnected batteries without the power of God at work in our lives by the Holy Spirit. So where does that leave us this morning? I think it just leaves us to just sit for a moment with God's word. We can't talk about the presence and the power of God without taking some moments to connect with God. I want to play you a song on the screen. Just sit with what we've heard this morning. Sit with Moses' prayer and says, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're lost. And take a few moments to connect with God as we start this new term together. Let's sit with God's word as we listen to this song being played.
Change may rage tomorrow. God is at your side. No longer dread the fires of unexpected sorrow. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Be still, do not be moved by lesser lights and fleeting shadows. Hold on to His ways with shield of faith. against temptation's flaming out. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Lord, of peace renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you. The truth you learned in the beginning, wait upon the Lord, and hope will rise as stars appear when day is dimming. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Thank you.